Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, into Boston, Massachusetts, and now out to Phoenix, Arizona as well. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. Ask also about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no risk or cost, not a penny, nothing, to effectively enter the market to buy your next home with cash. And the way that works is that you become committed. Everything's all signed, sealed, and delivered. All you need is the house, which means we have to have an appraisal tied to something. And once we have that, you're all set to go. But in today's very competitive inventory world, in other words, there's not enough inventory, generally speaking, for the buyer demand that we have, you may often run into a multiple offer situation, which will, in many cases, involve at least one cash offer. Your pre-purchase commitment effectively makes that nullified. You are equal with them at that point in time, and it's only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. Look for that personalized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service, and check out that low rate and closing cost guarantee. And don't forget about the first-ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed in any of the markets we serve. Here in Buffalo, Niagara, our local number is 716-631-4800. Dial that number, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, doesn't have to be ours, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. And keep in mind that if you see a house you like and you go back to your computer, even if you have a smartphone, you just pull over to the side of the road and you start messing around with it, it's going to take you a little time to find out about that house. Just dial 631-4800, punch the street number in, as I said earlier. Everything else is automatic, and you'll have all the information you need in a matter of seconds. It's the fastest way to get the information you want or need about any property that's for sale, any property. We're in a very active real estate market, as I mentioned earlier. Right now, there is a shortage of homes available here in Western New York, which may imply that you may have more equity than you think. And sometimes the thing we hear from people is that, well, where will I go? Well, enter that dialogue. Begin that dialogue. It's something that can maybe open a few doors for you, literally. And I think it's an important thing for you to recognize that these times don't last forever. And the fact of life is you may be able to find more in your house cash-wise than you think and allow you to do some things that you may always have wanted to do. And remember, if you're thinking about selling and buying, there's only one kind of person to talk to, and that's a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional, because they can look you in the eye and tell you this, that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. And ask about it anytime this weekend if you stop into one of our open houses and speak to one of our professionals. Hunt is the official relocation and real estate provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and even the Rochester Americans. Go Bills. Training camps underway, so we hope that there will be some great results that we can all get excited about coming up later this summer and this fall. We are live here on WBEN 930 AM, and for those of you who'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is dial 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, or start 930 for mobile. Those are all free calls. And if you want to text us, it's 30930, and you can give us your comments that way as well. We have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is a gentleman who is making a lot of headway here in Western New York in many respects. I'm sure if you've followed what's going on in the development world or the real estate world or the even the investment real estate world, you've heard this name before. And that, of course, is Nick Sinatra. Mr. Sinatra is the president and founder of Sinatra & Company Real Estate. Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Wonderful.
It's good to have you. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, congratulations to you and your family.
Oh, thank you.
It's a wonderful thing. Your father-in-law briefs me on everything. So,
yes, we're expecting our first, so that's really exciting.
Well, congratulations. Nick, you are you went away. You grew up here and moved away. Bring us up to date on Nick Sinatra?
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, born and raised here in Buffalo. Love Buffalo, wear it on my sleeve. Grew up in the restaurant business. Our family proudly owns Sinatra's restaurant on Kenmore Avenue. And so I went off to school and college and worked in politics for a while, and first for Governor Pataki and then for President George Bush. And great experience as it was, I realized I wasn't going to make my career in that line of work. So I became cured of that disease, the political disease, if you will.
For sure.
And I went to business school. And it was an interesting time because I showed up on campus at a Wharton School of Business in the fall of 2009. No, I'm sorry, fall of 2008.
Good timing.
And a month later, Lehman Brothers collapsed and the whole economy collapsed, and real estate was leading the charge down into the abyss. So it was an interesting time to be studying business and real estate. So for us, it was a safe place to be in business school for 2 years as the world was jitters all around. But it was also interesting because I, all the students there didn't have a whole lot of opportunity to go work for the standard sort of Goldman Sachs' little world, and nobody was hiring. In fact, they were all firing. So it forced me to look a little bit more along the entrepreneurial route. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to put together a business plan. I'm going to go see if I can raise some money and start buying property. And that's exactly what I did. I bought my first 6-unit apartment building 10 years ago in 2009. In fact, as I was driving over here, I drove by it. It's right next to Bocce Pizza on Bailey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So it was a good deal. I could tell you that because anything you bought back in 2009 ends up being a good deal today.
So, that's for sure.
So that's pretty much how we got started. I met a family that was very wealthy, and while I was in Washington, and they ended up being my backers, the Pritzker Family Office, and they started off $100,000 investment with us to buy that first property, and now they've invested tens of millions of dollars into various different properties along with other folks. I mean, we've expanded our investor base to include institutional Wall Street type investors as well as other family offices. But you know, our focus really is apartments. We love the apartment multifamily space, and we own over 5,000 of them between here and Chicago. We actually just bought an asset in Indiana. We like Indianapolis and South Bend, so we're buying garden-style apartments outside the area now pretty aggressively. As aggressively, I guess, as you can be in a tight real estate market that we're in, but that's a big focus of ours is buying apartments outside the area, and then obviously we do all the development stuff that we do locally, and that's a big part of our business as well.
Going back to the apartment issue, one of the things we're finding from a commercial brokerage standpoint is that, as you point out, there's a lot of people that are interested in that part of the investment world, and as a result, the price of these properties has gotten bid up, and the return consequently is lower. How do you justify that to your investors? Just out of curiosity, because the cap rates are getting you know where they are.
It's tough. It really is. I mean, we only bought one property this year. And that's for us rare. I mean, we've been very aggressively buying the last 10 years. And in fact, we've been selling some assets this year because it's almost to the point where we said, you know what, we're going to, if you can't beat them, join them type of mentality. Instead, if the prices are so good that we're going to kind of rebalance the portfolio, sell off some of the smaller properties that we bought when we first started and focus on the larger assets. And that's kind of what we're doing. So, I guess that's how we justify it. We say, "Hey, we can't buy, so let's sell." So,
not a bad thought in today's world. If you acquired a lot of your assets at the tail end of the recession and up to say a couple of years ago, you are involved with the Piercero redevelopment project. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So there's two different projects there. So it's a little bit confusing. There's if you're thinking about between Delaware and Elmwood off of Great Arrow, there's a an old manufacturing plant, the old Pierce Arrow car manufacturing plant. And so somewhere along the lines, it got divided up, and the front end of it that faces Elmwood was sold. And then the back end of it and the piece along Great Arrow was also sold separately. So we own the piece that is sort of closer to Tapestry along Great Arrow there. Dr. Greg Daniel owns the piece that's actually on Elmwood, and he's working on that separately and converting that space into apartments. But our project is 72 apartments. It's going to be market rate apartments in the old manufacturing buildings. It's four stories, great solidly built building, and it's an historic tax credit deal. We're going to use the credits to rehab the building in a historic way, and it's also a brownfields cleanup project, which it complicates things and delays the project from starting many times, because you have the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation involved and making sure that everything that you do is to their standards and the property is cleaned up. And there's a rail line that runs right along the backside of the property. So this one in particular was a very interesting cleanup because of that rail line. It over time, it's just shot off a lot of different not so good metals into the property that we've had to clean up all over the site. So it's been a little bit of a delay because of the remediation, but we're about ready to start here.
Start on the building itself.
On the building itself. Yeah, the remediation has been done, and we're literally about ready to start in the building in the next couple weeks.
Rocco Termini has also been active in that neighborhood along Chandler Street, which is just on the other side of Elmwood from where you are. What is the, obviously you had to have some kind of foresight as some kind of urban pioneer to see that whole section was perhaps the next logical area to be developed. How do you look at kind of a community and say, well, gee, this, because I know you've done a lot of stuff on Main Street, and I want you to comment on that a little bit, but near the medical campus, but how do you take a look at that? How do you have the foresight, or how do you develop the market intelligence to pick the right spot?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's sort of the secret sauce, if you will, at least in our business. But for us and for me, I really believe that people want to live in cool neighborhoods. And what does that mean? So people, especially folks that are, the millennial generation, the 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, they want to live in a community that's walkable, in a community that has amenities around, grocery stores, fun, interesting coffee shops, and cultural institutions, et cetera, things that people can do, walk their dog, et cetera. And so if you look at the two places that we are very bullish on, it's the, Elmwood Village / Medical Campus neighborhood, which we own a ton of property in and are developing a number of projects there. And then in this North Buffalo corridor, which, I mean, if you think about it, that Great Arrow site is right in the heart of kind of a neat, walkable community there that's densely populated. You've got Wegmans within walking distance, which is a huge plus for anybody in Western New York. And then you've got Hurdle Avenue and all the great things that's going on at Hurdle Avenue and walking distance right over there too. So you've got access, that great access point to the 198. And if you shoot right down, right up Elmwood, you can get on the 190. So it's got good access, and it's an up and coming neighborhood. I mean, there's over $100 million of development scheduled for that area. If you think about what we're doing, what Dr. Daniel's doing, what Rocco's doing, and then Uniland has that corner on Elmwood and Hurdle, which mm-hmm. I think is probably the best. The last best undeveloped corner in the city of Buffalo, and I know they've got some pretty big plans for that corner.
Well, that'll be exciting. Years ago, when I was chairman of the board of the YMCA, we looked at the site, which is now LA Fitness, and as only an organization like that can, we rejected that site, and we had an opportunity to buy it for nothing, because of the proximity to some less than desirable neighbors, let's say. from a cultural standpoint, from an organization, for an organization like the YMCA, there's a lot of not just physical cleanup that has to happen in those neighborhoods, but also kind of a cultural cleanup. Is that happening organically in your mind, Nick? And we've seen this like in Chippewa Street long ago, and even along Main Street more recently.
Yeah, you know, it seems like there's momentum in these neighborhoods, and you know, it's almost like the broken glass theory, where you start to improve property in a neighborhood, and all of a sudden the neighbors start to improve their property, and they either they stay because they're improving it, or they sell it to somebody who wants to buy it and improve it and upgrade the space and upgrade the neighborhood. And so it happens organically, but there needs to be the catalyst, and the catalyst is you know, folks like myself and Rocco and others that are saying, okay, this is a good neighborhood, let's invest in it, let's rebuild it, let's create some jobs in the neighborhoods, and then it starts to create a momentum of itself.
Let's go back to the comment that you made about kind of coolness, this factor that is kind of elusive, but I guess it's kind of like another thing that one of our politicians described, which I won't mention, that you can't define it, but you know it when you see it.
You're right.
And so the coolness thing is, I mentioned this a couple times on the show, but I had to give a talk one night, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about, to a business group, and I was on a plane coming back from someplace, bumped into a friend, and on the front page of USA Today was an article about Cincinnati and how they had acquired this coolness factor, and how they acquired it and what it looked like. And they spoke a lot about the cultural community and about arts and about, just like you're saying, the walkable nature of certain neighborhoods, the amenities that are nearby, and just a feeling that you get. But it was all subject to the return or the resurgence of youth in that community. Do you see that happening here, and how do you see it happening?
Absolutely. You know, there's always in this business, you know, people always ask, well, you know, in Buffalo, there's no population growth. How could you be building apartments when there's no new people moving into the area? You know, and especially out-of-town investors say the first thing. It says, there's no population growth in Buffalo. Why, you know, go to Phoenix and develop a building there, then I'll invest. But, you know, what we're seeing here now is young people are either moving into the city from the suburbs, or they are moving back from wherever they had left to, whether it was to go to college out of town, or whether it was to go seeking employment somewhere else 10, 15 years ago when they first graduated. Now they're coming back because they're having kids, and they see opportunities here, and there are jobs here for folks. And there's no better place that I've been to, and I've traveled all over the country to live and raise a family in than Western New York. And so you talk to anybody that grew up here, and they live outside the area, and the first thing they say is, boy, if I had an opportunity to come back, I would, because it's the greatest place to have a family. And the cost of living is so reasonable, and the quality of life is so high, you know, and that's the case. And so what we're seeing is young people moving back into the city. And I think there's actually been some articles written. The Toronto Star wrote a great article about it a few years ago, and then the New York Times wrote an article about it, and I actually did some research, and there are on a pro rata basis, Buffalo is in the top five cities in the country for millennials relocating to. Which is really exciting and interesting, and those are the folks that are you know, moving into our apartments.
Yet if you talk to people around town, and I mean, I know you do, one of the big issues, one of the problems that we seem to be facing is the whole issue of workforce development. Look at what M&T is dealing with now. 1,000 people they're going to be adding to their workforce in really one area of their world, which is technology. Other large firms in our area are facing the same problem, and they say it over and over again. Two things. Number one, training people the right way. And the Northland Development Project, for example, is one of those things where we're trying to train people the right way. But that's the kind of the other end of the workforce spectrum. And then the high tech spectrum is also, there's a seeming void here. So is it a strong enough draw? I mean, you mentioned people, if they could find a job here. The jobs are here. So how do we, as a community, are we doing a good enough job in getting that message out, or what are we doing about that?
Yeah, that's a great point. This economy is so strong nationally and certainly locally that the biggest problem that we see as business owners is the workforce. We can't find people that are qualified to do the jobs that we need them to do, and it's because most of people are employed. So, you know, if you have a job opening and you're looking for somebody in that to fill that role, it's tough because everybody's is employed who's capable and able-bodied. And so that's a good problem to have. But on the flip side of it, you know, if you're looking at where the economy is going to go to in the next few years, you got to make sure that we're thinking longer term. And the workforce development piece is key. And as you mentioned, we don't have enough tech workers and engineer-based employees here. You know, if you look at some of the other cities that we would compare ourselves to, you know, Columbus, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and they have a much stronger sort of tech community, an innovation economy, if you will, and we are sort of late to the game here in Western New York with that, and I feel like that's an area for improvement that we have to really address, because that's the future, and that's how we're going to grow this economy in the future and reverse the trends that we've seen in the last 30 years.
I know you've been involved with the organizations like Say Yes to try to begin that process at an earlier point in people's lives, getting them well educated so that they can fill these jobs. And I want to have you come back and talk about that, and also talk about opportunity zones, things that are being kind of done community-wide institutionally and perhaps through government assistance that are allowing us to hopefully do something that we've been seemingly unable to do in the past. And also, while we'll go to the break, think about the whole extent to which our university and college system needs to be embraced that it hasn't been up to this point in time. And maybe things like Say Yes are an effective bridge. But you and I have heard something lately about that whole connection that doesn't seem to make us feel all that warm and fuzzy. But we'll come back and talk to that, I hope you will, after these very important messages from our house to yours. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com. And I say that every week, but it is all new, and you really need to go there. There's not just one algorithm to find out the value of your home or any property. There's three. And if you go to what is the largest real estate website in terms of popularity in the country, there's one. We have three. So go there first before you go shopping on the national websites that may or may not have accurate information about the local market. Our information is accurate. We upload it every hour. We make sure that it's accurate, and what is inaccurate, we pull immediately. And so you're going to get the best data anywhere for our market or any market we serve through huntrealestate.com. And that is the only place on the web where you can find that complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and also Boston, Massachusetts. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. For more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after, knowing exactly what you're going to be in for, only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. Call and ask for details today and ask about that pre-purchase commitment that I mentioned earlier, and even our warm home loan. These are unique to Hunt Mortgage. Call today, 633-3700. And for those of you who would simply just prefer to pick up the phone, ask any question about real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center, the only one of its kind in North America, 633-9400. Ask one of our customer service reps to answer your question right there, or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. There's no greater guarantee in the industry. Maybe you've heard about these iBuyers, these companies that will buy your home for cash. There's a huge discount involved in that. If you don't think there is, guess again. And sometimes you might be in a position where you just want to get out of something. Before you do that, you inherit a house, or you've got relatives that need the financial backing quickly, call us first. Call Hunt Mortgage, 633-9400, and see if we can't help you and make sure that you get the most equity out of your home you possibly can. I'm in the studio today with Nick Sinatra. Mr. Sinatra is the president and founder of Sinatra & Company, one of the certainly most prominent of our development companies around town. And we heard a little bit about Mr. Sinatra's history and how he got back to town and what he's been doing since he got back to town and how his base has been expanded beyond Western New York through the focus that they have on multifamily housing. And it's interesting, Nick, on just not walking in, I wanted you to think about this during the break. You mentioned the issue or the concept of opportunity zones. What exactly are they and how do they work?
So it's a great program, and it's a federal program that was in the Jobs and Tax Cut Act that was passed by the Trump administration a few years back, and it was done so with little fanfare. Nobody was really paying attention to it, and all of a sudden, some folks in the industry, the real estate industry, really figured it out and said, "Boy, this is going to be really exciting." So what it is each governor in every state in the country was allowed to pick these opportunity zones geographically and submit them to the Department of Treasury last summer. And then they were verified, and a couple of sets of guidance came out this past year. And now we have a real solid program that people are kind of moving into, and money's flowing into around the country. And so what it is it does three things. It's in these geographic areas, most of them are in urban locations and areas that are in distress, and that policy intention is to create more investment in more jobs in these communities. What it does is it trying to incentivize investors to put capital in with developers like myself, and it does three things for the investor. First is it defers capital gain, so it's really meant to be a capital gain deferral, and which really to me indicates that the administration wanted this to be a Main Street type of investment, not a Wall Street investment.
Explain that. Defers capital gains. What does that mean?
So you sell your Apple stock in 2018, and instead of having to pay your tax on it right away, your capital gains tax, you can roll that into an opportunity zone fund. You have 180 days. And then you will not have to pay that for 7 years until 2026. So that's the first piece of benefit. The second is when you do pay in 2026 your tax bill on the capital gain, there's a reduction. So if you've been into the program for 7 years, meaning you sold the property in 2018 or 19, then you have to only pay 85% of your original tax bill. So if you had a $100,000 gain on that Apple stock, you'd only have to pay capital gains tax on $85,000 of it. So that's really great. And the third thing, which is really the most important and the most exciting for folks, is that if you invest in a qualified opportunity zone project or a business, then and you hold it for 10 years, the gain on your gain is tax-free when you sell it. So just going along the same analogy with the Apple stock, you sell your Apple stock, you have a $100,000 gain, you invest it in a project that we're working on, for example, and we build the building in a neighborhood, let's just say it's on Jefferson Avenue, and in year 10 or year 11, we sell that property for a gain. And I give you back $300,000. The first $100,000 is your capital, obviously, in return of capital. And then that $200,000 gain is tax-free. And you can put it in your pocket. You don't have to continue to invest it like a 1031 exchange would be. So it's a really exciting program for the real estate industry. As I mentioned, there's also an opportunity to invest it into an opportunity zone eligible business, but that's still a little bit undefined, and there's still some IRS guidance that has to come out as in terms of what it means to be an opportunity zone business and how that all works. But it's pretty well defined now from a real estate standpoint, and so we know how and where and to invest, and so accountants and lawyers are able to opine on it, and money's really flowing into these zones around the country. And for us, because we are already very active in these neighborhoods, you know, Jefferson, Canal Side, as I mentioned, the medical campus. It's benefiting us greatly because the projects that we are already had already purchased and already are working on are in zones. And so we have a great familiarity with the program because we immediately recognize this. And now we've raised Opportunity Zone eligible capital into these projects, and now are working on putting that to work in the communities. And we're also looking for other Opportunity Zone eligible properties or land, if you will, in these zones that we could potentially look at for future projects, which is really the intent, is to incentivize people to look at development projects and create jobs in neighborhoods that otherwise were on the margin or really don't pencil from the first swing.
Is there some map someplace that shows these zones?
Yeah, so there's a website that through Empire State Development, they've got a website link. And then there's also through the IRS has a, if you, it's kind of hard to find through the IRS, they also have a website, but there's an app called OZ Maps, which is really the most user friendly. I think it's a 99 cents or something, but it's a great tool, and it literally, you open it up and you can physically see as you're walking around or if you're driving around where the maps are, and you can zoom out if you needed to look at other areas in the country. But that's what I'd recommend, OZ Maps.
You know, Nick, this is such an interesting thing when you bring up something that's so valuable, and I think particularly as we look at the political climate that we're in today, a lot of the candidates that are on, you know, even perhaps on both sides of the aisle, are talking about the attacks on the tax bill that was passed in 2017, or will attack it in some way, shape, or form. And I would assume then in that case that programs like this would go away, which would be a shame. Now, from what you said, it really doesn't cost the government a penny. They're not really investing a nickel, are they? It's all in deferral of future taxation, right? So they're not. They might say they're investing it by not collecting it, but that's hocus pocus, as you and I both know.
Right. This program is like I said, it's very. It was passed with little fanfare, and it was actually bipartisan. Cory Booker, the Democrat senator from New Jersey, was the sponsor and really led it and shepherded it through the Senate, and so really nobody's focused on it, you know, and the administration should get out there and do a better job trumpeting the program, because to your point, it has the potential to be transformational in some of the communities that need it around the country, and it only works if the projects are successful. So, you know, you're not really to your point, you're not taking money out of the government's coffers. You're basically deferring some gains, and then you're saying, with those deferred gains, if you are successful in your investment, then you don't have to pay tax on that gain. But had you not had the program, that investment wouldn't be made anyways, and then therefore that tax revenue wouldn't have been available anyways. So it's really, you're trying to create something from nothing, if you will, and the benefactors of that should be and will be in many cases these distressed communities.
Not to mention the fact that every project creates jobs.
Absolutely.
And so if there's no project, there's no jobs. Speaking of that, you are involved in a project on Jefferson Avenue now, which has been a kind of an overlooked part of our community. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so I like to think that I'm a pioneer, in terms of where we look to invest. And, you know, we started putting housing on Main Street. We first came back, located around the medical campus, and some folks thought I was crazy. They said, "Oh, nobody's gonna want to live in a market rate apartment on Main Street." And you know, now of course there's stuff going up all up and down Main Street, which is great. So I got on my bike one day a few years back and cycling through the medical campus and all the neighborhoods around it, and you know, and just said, "Boy, there's a lot of opportunity here." And you're so close to this growing economic engine that is the medical campus. You know, where, you know, there are real good, high-paying jobs being created there literally every day. So on Jefferson, we said, look, there's a good opportunity here. So we purchased four blocks from the Johnny B. Wiley facility up on the west side of Jefferson. And I sat down then with about a half dozen African-American clergy leaders, brought them in my office and said, all right, it's a blank canvas. Let's dream together. What do you want to build here? What, you know, help me build, help me help you rebuild the community. And it was a really interesting approach because they didn't expect that. They were expecting me to present something to them and convince them that that was what needed to be done there. And that's not the way I approached it. And so we immediately had community buy-in because essentially we're building what they wanted us to build, and which was affordable housing and places where people can get services close to their community. And so right now we've already built Northwest Savings Bank branch, which, by the way, the Northwest folks have been unbelievable in terms of their commitment to the African-American community. And that branch is in their system, and the Northwest Bank branch system is actually the number one deposit branch going in the country right now.
Wow. Yeah. We'll be right back with more from Morehouse Steers after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is the home of the pre-purchase commitment and the Buy the Before and Live the After program. Call today, 633-3700 for personalized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service. I'm in the studio today with Nick Sinatra. Mr. Sinatra is the president and founder of Sinatra & Company Real Estate, and a partner in many projects around town. We just finished, we'll never be finished, talking about the project on Jefferson Avenue, which is very exciting, four blocks on the west side of Jefferson Avenue, which is going to be a real catalyst for growth. And this is the kind of thing that has to happen in our town if we're going to really be what we want to be. And as you've pointed out, if you look at where the focus of development, government-sponsored development, institutional development, job creation is happening in our community, all you have to do is radiate out from that and see that we've got huge opportunity in this community.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at what is going on, you know, Buffalo Business First does this great publication every year, and it kind of keeps a running tally of all the development going on. And in this pocket that we're talking about here, this sort of Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus pocket, it's over $2 billion of development that has gone on there the last 10 years. And globally, I think the number that Jim Fink uses is about $7 billion of development that has happened in Western New York in the last decade. And that those numbers are really huge and substantial, especially when you think about in the context of the last 30 years on how we were begging for anybody to come in here and develop. And if you think about the craziness that went around and trying to get Bass Pro and figuring out how, you know, where the big silver bullet was coming. And now we have, you know, literally hundreds and maybe even thousands of projects around Western New York that have popped up, big and small, that have created, you know, jobs and have revitalized communities. And it's really exciting. And, you know, we have, look what's going on at Albright Knox. Mm-hmm. That is fantastic. And that center is going to be world renowned, but it is going to be an attraction that people are going to come from all over the world to see right here in our backyard. And then, you know, we talked about it earlier, the quality of life. I mean, if you think about this city, and, you know, I think we're 48th largest city in the country. But in terms of what we have to offer, I mean, we're leaps and bounds. We're probably in the top 10 in terms of, you know, we have two sports teams. We've got this Albright Knox Cultural Institution, you know, our arts community generally. I mean, that just happens to be the leading institution. But we have all kinds of wonderful galleries here, the Birchfield Penny. We have a full Philharmonic Orchestra, which is fantastic, right? I mean, we have so much to offer here. We have the waterfront. It is the best city in America, in my opinion, in the summertime. And there's so much here in the summer, and the weather is perfect. I mean, look at the weather we're having today. It's in this past week, it's 80 and breezy and no humidity. I mean, where are you getting that in the country? So, there's a lot to offer, and there's a lot going on here, and really, really exciting time to be a Buffalonian.
You know, you talk about our love of the magic pill, the silver bullet, whatever you want to call it. And we both grew up with that. You know, this project's going to be our answer to everything. But let me just remind our listeners, if you have a question for Nick Sinatra, now's your opportunity. 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free. So call with your comments or text us here at 30930. And the screen's not up here, Jerry, so we just in case somebody wants to text us. But the bottom line is I think what you just said, Nick, and that is that we are what I would describe as over-facilitied for a city our size in all respects. Buffalo would never get an NFL team if we didn't already have it.
Right.
Buffalo would never get an Albright Knox if we didn't already have it. Buffalo would never get an Olmsted Park system if we didn't already have it. I mean, and this goes on, and we would never have an waterfront even if we didn't already have it. And yet we've just taken these assets for granted for so long. And I think now, as I've interviewed Gianni here and Stephanie Crockett from the park system, we just have a new contract between the city and the park system, which is long overdue and a great new contract. And we're going to have Stephanie on to talk about that and the mayor. Also, because these are huge steps forward for our community, and it's just great to see. And you mentioned, you know, the term that I think is almost it's so commonly used that people don't even understand the meaning of it, and that's called quality of life. You know, we went to the Cape Cod for a brief vacation with my daughter and her family a couple weeks ago, and moving. I mean, it's cool. It's very nice, and. But moving around is a monstrous hassle. Monstrous hassle. I drove in from the lake here, no problem at all. I mean, it's a monstrous hassle in most other towns.
Yeah.
We have it made here. And we have a highway system, as I think you know, that's built for 2.4 million people. We've got maybe 1.1. This is an astounding thing if you think about it. How many times have any of our listeners been in a traffic jam?
It is. And, you know, it's interesting because now there tends to be a little bit of traffic now coming in and out of downtown the last few years because there's so many new jobs and companies moving into downtown, which is great. But and people are complaining about that now. You know, geez, I had to wait 5 minutes longer to drive home.
Two changes of a light.
Yeah. But you know, I like to bring a lot of my friends into town and showcase Buffalo. The folks that I met my time in Washington are you know, college buddies or buddies from business school. I just had a couple in from my business school class last weekend and show them all that Buffalo has to offer. And they're amazed by all the things that you mentioned, you know, the park system. And we went and spent some time in Delaware Park and, you know, like Niagara Falls. And it's just, it's incredible. And people are saying, boy, geez, this is really exciting. And then they're thinking to myself, I'm living in this shoebox apartment in Manhattan, and you know, you can really stretch out here and live a very comfortable life in Western New York. And people are scratching their head because I think this next generation, you know, my generation and younger, the folks that are 20s, 30s, and 40s, are their set of values are a little bit different. They're really focused on the quality of life piece in a way that maybe the baby boomers weren't, you know, and they're really thinking to themselves, it's really important to spend time in a community that really it's fun and cool and to the point where it is a community, right? We have a community here in Western New York, and that is something I've always liked and thought was special, is that you have a sense of community where if you live in Washington or Philadelphia or, you know, Los Angeles or whatever, it's so transient. There's no sense of community. You don't know your neighbors, and there's no nobody cares about the longevity of where you live, and that's not right, and it's special here in Buffalo.
And to that point, how many times do you go anywhere and somebody doesn't say, "Hey, Nick, how are you, Nick?" It's everywhere. We've got a couple of callers online. This is John from Rochester. John, how are you?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Nick. Nick, the Opportunity Zones, I think, a fascinating program. And I'll tell you, you invest in some of these Opportunity Zones, you got a lot of risk involved in getting any appreciation after a sale, let's say after 10 years. But your real benefit is the depreciation base is so low, if you, especially if you have some type of accelerated depreciation, that really saves a lot in capital gains. So I think that could be the key to these risky Opportunity Zone areas. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a 10-year investment, right? It's a marriage, and in fact, it's a longer than a lot of marriages, 10 years. But
More than half.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. There's a lot of risk in this program, but with risk, there should be reward. And I think the designers of this program thought about that. And you're right. The depreciation recapture is a key component of this. So what John was mentioning is if you buy an asset, you can depreciate it over time, and that alleviates some of the tax burden of the investment. And so the back end of that has always been when you sell the asset, you got to pay the piper. And as you depreciate the asset, over time, you have to pay what's called depreciation recapture on the back end. And so you could be selling an asset for $10 million and you have depreciated it down to $2 million. And then all of a sudden, you have to pay taxes on the $8 million delta, essentially. And so that also keeps folks in the past from wanting to sell real estate, frankly, which is why a lot of developers and other folks don't sell very often. But what this Opportunity Zone program does is it essentially gives you a step up on your basis of the property to the sale price when you actually sell it.
Which is monstrously huge.
Absolutely. And so if you think about that analogy I was talking about before, let's just say you invest in my project in Jefferson Avenue and then we sell it in year 10. All along the way, we have been depreciating the asset. Let's just say it was as a $10 million project and we depreciated it over time to $1 million in year 10, year 11. On our tax books, it's $1 million. Mm-hmm. And then we sell it for $12 million in year 11. There's a step up of your taxable basis to that sale price.
$11 million in tax.
Exactly. So you don't have to pay then any capital gains on the entire stack. So that really helps, as John mentioned, because it is risky. I mean, Jefferson is still a neighborhood in transition, and so it's a risky investment. So it gives a little bit more cushion to that risk reward calculus, so that ultimately folks will want to say, you know what, I'm gonna take this just 10-year plunge, if you will.
You know, Nick, as you talk, and we've got a couple more callers online, I hope we can get at least to one of them. It seems like we're at a kind of a fulcrum point in our community. Things could tip one way or the other, and I hope they tip the right way. But this is John from Niagara Falls. John, how can we help you? Quickly.
Hey, I just wanted to expand on what you guys were talking about, what a great area this is. We're from Long Island originally, and one day we got off the Long Island Expressway after sitting in traffic again, and that's when everybody throws out the trash, and the town comes by and mows over that. We looked at each other, we're like, we got to get out of here. And we came up to Buffalo on our friend's recommendation, and it is amazing up here. So you're not lying. I mean, there's so much to do in the summertime. Winters are long, but they're long on Long Island, too. But as soon as summer pops, there's no other place I can imagine living than up here.
Well, John, thank you for that comment, and I hope there's lots more out there like you. And if you tell your friends in Long Island that this, go back and be a little ambassador for us.
Yeah, that's right. Bring them on.
bring them here. Nick's got some apartments for them if they need a place to stay.
I'm spreading the word, guys.
Good. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. We've got about 50 seconds left here, Nick. If our listeners wanted to learn more from you or about you, how would they do that?
Sure. You can go on our website, which is SinatraandCompany.com. We're actually going to launch a new one in 2 weeks, which is going to be fantastic, and it's going to have a portal right into our Opportunity Zone Fund if you want to take a look at the projects that we have and how to get involved. And or you can call our number. That's 716-220-8468. Again, 716-220-8468. Or check us out on the web at SinatraandCompany.com.
Nick Sinatra, president and founder of Sinatra and Company, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Peter. I really enjoyed it.
Likewise. And I'd like to thank our listeners for being with us. And Sonia from North Tonawanda called, and she is asking you to look at Oliver Street in North Tonawanda. So I'll leave you with that note. We'll be back next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.